Did. Please pray with me. God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the witness of our lives be acceptable to you and speak of Easter joy and the story of your love. Amen. I am not especially foolish or brave. I didn't plan to leave alone without the other women in the dark that early morning. But when I stepped outside for just a breath of air after the long day and night hiding in our host's small home, I found myself walking and then walking further, moving toward the nearest gate in the city's walls, toward the garden and the tomb. I was nervous to be alone at that time, so I pulled my headscarf down to hide my face, and I walked quickly and stayed in the shadows. When I found the place where I had seen Joseph lay Jesus' body, my heart rose into my throat and blood pounded in my ears. I moved closer to be sure of what I was seeing in the dim gray light before dawn, and there it was. The tomb's mouth yawning open, no stone covering it as Joseph had left it. I could only think that Jesus' enemies had come to heap one more indignity upon his already broken body, or had come to steal him away and make him disappear even more completely, to wipe away all that he was and all that he had made of us, those who followed him and loved him. Even in death, I thought, they would not leave him alone. When I came back to the garden, following behind Peter and the other disciple, I saw them look into the tomb and then enter in, but they said nothing to me as they left, and so I thought they had only confirmed what I feared. What then could I do? What did it matter? Everything was dust. It was what I expected of life, really. Before, disappointment and suffering and loss. I had slowly been learning to see things differently through the few years I followed Jesus. I had begun to see how God just might love this world and all the people of his making, and how God might make something whole and beautiful out of the brokenness and mess around us and in us. I had begun to believe that our story might not be a story without meaning, only ending in death. And I had begun to understand a little bit better and in a new way the story the prophets told again and again of people and homes and communities made whole again and flourishing, God's promises for us. See, I had felt in my own body God's power to make whole what is broken. The Most High, our God of steadfast love, had been present in the darkness in my life, even though I didn't always know it. When I first met Jesus, I was captive to powers greater than me, shaken by an illness so powerful that the neighbors whispered it must be a whole family of demons inside me. While making bread or walking to the well, I would sometimes just get stuck almost, staring into the distance, not hearing those around me lost. And there were other times, these were worse, when the violent fits shook my body and threw me to the ground, and I could not rise again for hours afterwards. My fits and spells made me strange to my friends and neighbors, and frightening to my own children. I raged at these demons of mine, and I was not afraid to speak my anger to our Most High God either. When my own words of pain and anger failed, I spoke the worn prayers of lament and despair in our Psalms. When Jesus came to our village to preach, I wanted to hear him speak like everyone else did. Though I did not like to be in a crowd, I went with the others into the courtyard of the largest home in the village. And there, in the middle of the crowd, While Jesus was speaking, I felt that tingling I often felt when the demons crept in, and I saw the room tilt as the demons twisted and shook my body like a puppet. Many people scrambled to move away from me as I fell, but as I fell, I saw Jesus moving toward me, his eyes fixed on me. When I awoke, the courtyard was mostly empty. My family knelt nearby, and Jesus, too, was there. "Mary," he said, though I did not remember telling him my name. After that, the demons were gone. It was, for me, a release from prison, freedom. And yet, the days after my healing were not always easy. It was not easy to learn again a new way of living. After so many years of keeping to myself out of shame, after years of holding myself apart even from my own children so that I would not hurt them, it took time for me to learn again to enjoy the simple pleasure of a friend's company and to welcome the weight of my children leaning into my legs and wrapping their arms around me. Slowly, I began to speak to God again, not only in anger. I prayed my thanks as I had as a child. I prayed for help and for forgiveness. And slowly, I leaned more and more into the joy of the new life Jesus had given me. And I began to hear in Jesus' words a different story about my life and about our world. Jesus told the story of the kingdom of God. He said, "Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are the peacemakers." He said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." He looked out into a whole crowd of people one afternoon, covering the whole hillside. And when the disciples asked him when we should send them away to find their dinner, he looked at us and he said, you give them something to eat. As if we had some part in making real the story of abundance and mercy and wholeness in the kingdom of God. And I began to believe and trust in that story. And I began to believe I had a part in it. But I forgot that story for a while in the days after Jesus died and turned again to the old story I thought I knew before. Nothing much matters. Everything is dust. Even when I saw the tomb bright with the light of God's own messengers, I told them that old story. Even when Jesus himself stood before me, I did not remember the things Jesus had told us, the part of his story where he would die, and the part where he would rise again and be with us always. When Jesus called my name that morning, I felt once again made whole by his word, and I remembered. I knelt and saw the hard knots of scars on his feet, wrapped my arms around his ankles, but he quickly said, "Mary, do not hold on to me. Stop clinging to me. Go and tell the story." When I brought my news that day, the other disciples were slow to hear and understand, and I didn't fully understand either. I only knew that the story of God remaking and redeeming our world did not end on Golgotha when Jesus died. Jesus had risen and was calling us to continue all that he had begun, to tell the story of God's kingdom, of healing and mercy and the whole world restored. Jesus was calling us to tell that story in the face of greed and cruelty and violence and all that we saw around us that told us another story. Jesus called us to tell the story of the kingdom with our lives and to make it real. What's your story? Here is mine. I am not especially foolish or brave. but I know that I have been called to tell the story of the kingdom of God, the story of God's love shown in Jesus. I look around and I see others who feel like I did, who feel broken and angry, who are rejected and alone, who rage at the injustice in their life and in the world around them. And I know I have a story to tell them, a story to live with my life, and a story for them to live. Jesus is here now, calling us, drawing us closer to one another and closer to the God of new life. Jesus is here now, urging us to tell the story. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.